Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter.
Howdy, Watchers. It's Dan, and thank you for joining us in another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. It's a little surreal that we're already at 61 episodes. Thanks for sticking with us. This week, I pitched Next, a sci-fi crime action series that used to be available on Hulu and Fox. By the time we convened to record, it was only available for purchase via Amazon Prime Video, so we wish to apologize for the lack of access to this week's material, which would be episodes 1 and 2. We talk about Slattery's facial hair growth ability, subpar Terminator and Indiana Jones sequels, the Ashley Madison bot fail, and copious amounts of science fiction subgenres. If this podcast is the best or worst thing you've ever heard, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook page, you'll probably get a possibly informative or witty response from one of us if that's the thing you want. Finally, if you have a show or movie you want us to watch, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, Watchers, let's continue denying the existence of certain movies in our headcanon while avoiding our future AI overlords and get into this pitch. All right, howdy, Watchers. I'm back with another pitch, and I'm going to once again say it's not anime this time, but I am going to say that it is somewhat tangential to another recent pitch that Jason had with Ex Machina, and it is going to be AI focus. And this is Next, which is on Hulu, for those of you who are interested in watching along. It was originally supposed to drop, you know, back in as a mid-season replacement kind of time, and they got pushed back, obviously, because of the pandemic, and it viewing in October of 2020. And ended up getting canceling shortly thereafter. So if you're seeing a little trend, this also happened when I had pitched ill-favored Marvel series, you know, we talked about previously. It's very funny how I'm choosing another series that, you know, was supposed to come out earlier, came out later, and ended up getting canceled the same month it came out. But that being said,
Hold on. Before you continue, Dan.
Yeah.
Are you telling us this show has already been canceled?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But the network that was releasing this has a track record for doing this kind of thing, and that's Fox.
Oh.
Mm. So now everything becomes clear, because Fox has a habit of canceling shows. If I could do it legally, I'd play the clip from Family Guy where they talk about every single show that was canceled after they were canceled before they got back on the air. And I would just replay that whole clip right here. So it had like, you know, Firefly and all the, you know, 30 or 40 series they mentioned in the clip. It was like,
Oh yeah, I remember that went on for a while.
Yeah, it felt like it went forever. Yeah. Again, this just shows you that, you know, people don't always realize how much TV gets canceled, and just not just in the States either, just elsewhere. But anyway,
this is why network TV is struggling, or why network TV barely exists anymore, because that was how they used to do things. It was like, well, if it doesn't get 10 million viewers within a month, we're done with it. And of course, then nothing ever grew, and, you know, was only really straightforward things that tended to survive, unlike certain things, you know, HBO and other streaming networks, where they would just say, you know what, we feel good about this. I bet we can grow it. I bet we can make something out of it. And that's why shows like Euphoria, which I haven't actually seen, but my understanding is it did okay the first season. And then a year later, it had already caught on. And then the second season did amazing. Whereas Fox doesn't have that luxury. They just, oh, it's not watching yet. We're done with it. Out. We're not going to see where this goes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and the only good thing is that if you do manage to push through the entire season, it does provide closure to the series, at least. So if you do, you know, manage or decide that it's worth your while to do that, then, you know, there is a proverbial light in the tunnel, regardless if you, you know, like the ending or not. That's not for me to say. But what I am here to say that is what the concept of this is. So this is a melding of things. It's sci-fi meets kind of crime drama kind of approach to this thing. And so the idea is that you have this former CEO of this tech giant who is supposed to be kind of an amalgamation of Alphabet and Amazon, basically, into one kind of macro company. And basically, he leaves the company on pretty much because he finds that he has a terminal disease, and he but he also has been making very erratic decisions as the CEO. So the kind of board kind of helps kind of push him out. He has a brother that kind of, you know, takes over from that. So he obviously stands to benefit. But they continue to push with their AI research and development, and they basically start creating AI that will sound familiar to this. It can learn and improve itself. So obviously, you know, there are, you know, Terminator and every other, you know, series we talked about dealing with AI. There's always this kind of Skynet idea that where that it learns too fast or grows too, or evolves too quickly, and what can happen as a result of that, and how that could affect people that are, you know, tangentially involved with the longevity of said AI. So that's kind of where the crime drama part of it comes in, and exactly how far, if this AI is not self-contained in a, say, a facility in someone's home in the middle of nowhere, right? What could happen? So I feel like this is kind of like we're playing an alternate scenario with this series as it relates to, say, Ex Machina, which is very interesting. So, and that's kind of the reason why is that now that we have this on the brain here, you know, why don't we just take a deeper dive into this and see how this could have played out differently if it was happening in United States proper in a major metro area.
Interesting.
Honestly, I am familiar with a show called Next, but it's a very different show.
Very different show, yes.
Okay, so you know the show I'm thinking of?
Yes.
Okay, that was great. This sounds very different, though. That was a dating show on MTV where it was like five people on a bus. The one person who was dating people throughout could just, if he or she wasn't feeling the person they were with, she could just say next and move on to the next person. But this is different.
Yeah. So this is like, you know, Ariana saying, thank you, next.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there are some familiar faces that you might be familiar with. The main guy I talked about before is played by John M. Slattery Jr. So of Mad Men fame.
Mm-hmm.
So he was Roger Sterling Jr. in Mad Men, context there. But there's a bunch of other random people in here. Fernanda Andrade, who actually more recently played Moon Knight's mother in the Moon Knight series.
Oh.
And there's a bunch of people that kind of look familiar. I mean, for me, like Eve Harlow is in this as well. I mean, I know her from both the 100 and also from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when she played Tess in one of the later seasons. So yeah, so there's a bunch of like random people you might recognize here and there that have done random things here and there. So, but it's a somewhat, you know, fairly tight cast. They have some recruiting people come in here and there. And, but again, it's episode run times right now, that 42, 43 minute mark or so. So obviously episodes 1 and 2, because this is a sequential series and whatnot. Curious to see what you guys think about that. It is 10 episodes overall, so it's not the full crazy, you know, long series. So I feel like the first couple episodes are pretty strong because they come in pretty hard with the pacing and whatnot to kind of catch you up as to what's happening. It's a really interesting kind of situational take on the AI situation. And I think the characters that are involved are somewhat interesting. I mean, I can't say that this series isn't going to be, you know, it clearly didn't go on to win, you know, Emmys and whatnot, but I thought it was entertaining. And it was kind of giving me a lot to think about on the AI front. So,
okay. Knowing that I'm not as into the sci-fi AI thing, is there something you think that I might latch onto with this that'll pull me along?
I think that crime drama aspect of that, I think, is probably more enticing to you.
Okay.
And again, there's a whole side of it because you know, there are certain regulations as to what, you know, what AI should and shouldn't do with regards to actual laws. You know, there is that law enforcement FBI aspect to it. I think that most people might take more from, more so than the AI element, the sci-fi element to it, basically. So I think that there's that. As far as something specifically in the background, I think that there is some interesting character nuances that they exude throughout the series. But again, I can say there's nothing about one thing from either one of your pasts, actually, that is uniquely drawn into this. I think that all the talk about the AI from the Ex Machina episode really kind of pushed me to kind of think, okay, well, you know, we're talking about AI anyway. Let's just make it a thing. And let's just get a different viewpoint from it. Maybe a little less. Again, this is probably more punchy and less, and in some ways throughout the whole thing, because there is a lot of, again, crime based drama, action based to it, basically. But again, it's in the confines of TV as opposed to a movie. Dialogue, I'll be honest, dialogue is 1,000% better in Ex Machina, as we talked about before with Jason. But I still think that, like I said, I think that there is a lot of good story behind all this.
Now, I have a question. John Slattery, does he have a mustache or no mustache?
Yeah, I know. He is basically, you think of someone who is coping with life-ending thoughts and whatnot because, you know, he is terminally ill. He's got that, you know, that disheveled, scruffy kind of look and feel to him.
I'm not sure. I didn't know he could grow whiskers. I thought only on the mustache. Everywhere else, like, he must have lasered off.
He like lasered, yeah.
Did they surgically, did they have hair and makeup put on pretend whiskers on him?
Yeah, yeah.
He just wakes up like that every day.
Wasn't there an old wives' tale that if you put peanut butter on something, it'll help the hair grow or something like that?
That I've not heard.
It's kind of a nutty mindset, I know.
Have you answered the mustache question? Is it here? No. What are you hiding? Why are you trying to hide this mustache?
No. I'm saying it's more scruff. It's just scruff. It's not necessarily, you know, anything molded, sculpted in any way, shape, or form. It's like he thinks so little of his appearance because everything else in his life is haunting him in that regard.
Mm.
You'll learn more about the condition that he has in the show. I don't want to spoil too much. But you'll learn more about why and how it's affecting his day to day.
Now, I have another question. Do you know if this show was originally conceived to be a traditional network show that could go on and on for, you know, many, many seasons indefinitely? Or if this was originally conceived as it doesn't sound like it was originally conceived as a limited series, but, you know, perhaps something a little shorter, a little more focused than certain network shows.
The guy who created it, I mean, I don't know much about him. His name's Mandy Cotto. I'm more than certain, like you're saying, this is probably meant to be a minimum of two seasons is what I'm betting. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it obviously didn't really kind of push things forward. I mean, took up showrunning duties on the final season of Star Trek Enterprise. And he did four seasons of 24. So the 24 aspect of this, I think, is really playing into it. There's a lot of the similar kind of pacing and scene transitions to 24. And I haven't even finished 24 on the first four seasons, basically, but it has a very similar kind of feel to it. There's a little bit, you can see more of his show running and his aesthetic pushes forward with that. And it kind of definitely follows along those lines. And I think I just watched an episode for episode Roulette for a few Trekkies from season four. And I definitely do get that same kind of aesthetic, and, you know, with regards to where transitions go, where plot lines go, where these characters are making choices and whatnot, I am seeing a little bit of that there, but I think it's more evident in the 24, alluded more to 24 than I would say to Enterprise in that regard, based upon Manny's career, apparently. So,
okay, I think it's interesting we're pivoting away from time travel that we kind of focused on early in the podcast, and now we're going straight into AI, which is I would say, somewhat ill-timed now that the Quantum Leap reboot has been released as of the date we're recording this. True. So we may need to go back to time travel, but I'm on board for AI for a little while.
All right. What are other AI movies and shows we can do? Something Terminator-themed? Do one of the Terminator shows? You know, anything else? I'll Google AI shows just so we have something to pitch until we let this run its course. And then we'll come back to time travel.
Yeah. I did not watch the last Terminator flick. I just did not. I just refused to go see it, for the record.
It's not terrible. It's not good. But, you know, the standard got set so low from the last couple movies. It's not terrible.
I haven't watched anything since Terminator 2.
Wow. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Anything after that didn't really pull me in or seem particularly interesting. And maybe that's just me playing the video games too much and the pinball machine. Like, definitely. If we did a Watch Okay Please on the pinball machine, that's a really good pinball machine, the Terminator 2 one.
It is.
It's really impressive.
It is.
Absolutely. So do either one of you acknowledge the Crystal Skull's existence either?
I have seen it. I guess I sort of lean on the let's pretend that didn't happen camp.
Yeah.
You know, it ended up with the Last Crusade and we call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it too. I didn't hate it as much as I could have, but it wasn't good. Definitely not.
Sounds about right.
And what about Sarah Connor Chronicles? How do you guys feel about that?
It sounds like you haven't seen it, right, Nyan?
No, I haven't.
I did. I don't know if I saw the whole series. It was Fox and it got cut short.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
which was
right.
Very disappointing, but otherwise I remember really liking it.
You know, yeah, I definitely enjoyed it for what we did get to see of it, that is. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought that was actually pretty solid for a network TV show back in the day. That probably came out early aughts, I want to say. And at the time, that, you know, you weren't going to find a lot of stuff like that at the time. I thought it was really strong. So I liked it.
Sci-fi as a genre has had, like, you know, waxes and wanes a little bit. Again, if it's alien focused, if it's, we said, time travel focused, if it's now computer AI focused, or if we're talking genetic engineering focused, say like a la Orphan Black, since, you know, Tatiana is on my mind right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, there's a lot of different kind of subgenres within that that we all think about. Again, that's why we're here talking about this right now, is because we're on this kick.
Doesn't sci-fi follow where actual science is to an extent? Back in the 1950s and 60s, we were all going to be living in outer space by the year 2000.
Right.
And then, of course, time passes and, you know, we maxed out our exploration in the 70s, getting to the moon, and haven't been back since. Meanwhile, all these other techs that they couldn't have even conceived have advanced way beyond, like our capacity to, you know, do things genetically, the capacity for computers to think. Real AI, which is often very different than people's ideas of it in movies, you know, that is certainly doing things that people could never have even imagined.
Yeah.
So that's where sci-fi goes. They go, oh, wow, you know, what if, you know, what if we have clones? What if we have computers that become robots so I don't have to talk to people anymore? What if we have computers that essentially make lawyers irrelevant? Think about that world.
I'm trying not to, because I like getting a paycheck. But
fair.
They're already working on customer service, you know? There's a thin line between when a robot is more beneficial or somebody. You know, a lot of times you're texting with somebody and it's just a robot on the other end, or some of it's just a robot you're chatting with on the other end.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or a bot, not a robot, but, you know, AI. Right. Like Tinder, what was it? Oh, what was that one where, you know, it was that dating website where you were going to date married women?
Was that Ashley Madison?
I guess it was married people.
Ashley Madison?
Ashley Madison. When that whole scandal came out about that thing, it turned out something like 95% of the people on there were all men. And of course, if you're there and you realize that there's no married women looking to have an affair with you, what do? You stop participating in the website. So what they ended up just doing was filling the whole website with bots. So guys will be on there and they think they've got all these, you know, sexy married women who want to have an affair with them. And they'd like have these dummy conversations and it was all bots and people had no idea.
Wild.
Yeah. It's crazy. Again, when you lose your primary audience or your business like that, I mean, they had two choices. They either go away gracefully or try and keep thing going. And like Nyan said, they needed a paycheck. So, but I think space wise though, I mean, because of, you know, as of this recording, DART just happened. Right. And, you know, so I think that, you know, we're a little behind the times. You know, we're only reaching Armageddon status, or not even pre-Armageddon status at this point, or Mercury Rising, or whatever movie we're talking about here. So, asteroid deflection, baby. But we'll get there.
But hey, it did feel very sci-fi when they did that, right?
It did, yeah.
It was like we finally made one of those sci-fi movie things actually happen. And next is the moon colony that may or may not happen sometime in the next however many years they're actually trying to do that.
I'm cool if we just go back to weird science where we just create hot models like out of random stuff we find around the house.
Yeah, I will gladly wear ladies' undergarments on my head if that could happen, yeah.
I just realized the plot of Ex Machina is just weird science.
Oh my God. It's my creation. Is it real? Oh, is it real? Well, you know, like you said, it has a hole.
So, I mean, give it like a decade. We'll reboot it with Anthony Michael Hall because he'll probably still be around.
So, and next, are there like, there's AI, as you've said, but are there robots for the AI to be put into? Or is that like a secret that we're not supposed to know?
There is a talk about where the AI lives during the series. I will say that, but I won't go into any further than that.
Mm.
Thinking of it this way, you're trying to prolong your life or keep yourself alive as a human. What would you do? You know, you put yourself into something that's more protective. You move somewhere that's more suits your lifestyle or what you need of a life environmentally speaking. So it's like, if it's thinking for itself, like as if we would, to protect oneself, you know, they'll do what they have to do. So scary as that might be.
Fair enough. Looking forward to checking it out.
Me too.
Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.